This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo. You also have Adam Knox.
Yes, you do, baby. Free for the price of me, baby.
You're free this week.
That's my new catchphrase. It's great, and I'm always going
to
say it.
Normally, me and Ben have to pay an appearance fee of $500 to have you on the show, but you've graciously waived that for this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I was just feeling charitable today. I also made a large donation to... Oh.
ISIS.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what the funniest...
It's always... Anytime it's like someone doing a charitable thing, the funniest thing I think you can think of is ISIS. That's what I think.
You reckon ISIS? I would have gone like... no, I don't have a better one. Yeah. ISIS is fine.
Great. Well, also joining us, the third host of the show, Ben Vanell.
Player three, now entering the game.
Wow, 60-something, 70-something episodes. It's taken you that long to think of that as a bit.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Hey, thanks to everyone who came to our live show over the last weekend. It was awesome to meet a bunch of you guys in the one place for the first time. Thank you to the people who brought us gifts, including some used video games.
Yes.
From the bargain
bin. Condoms, yep. That was very scary, but
thanks to the
delicious
guy who brought us a 3 barbecue kits that we opened on stage, and we all kind of looked at each other like, oh, this is like an in-joke from the show from 6 months ago that we've all... like forgotten that we've said, and we had to say to the person in the crowd, whoever gave us these, what's the joke? And he went, no joke, I just work for this company and wanted to give you stuff. So
and we're never going to name the company.
Yeah, I'm deliberately...
Guys, we can say it. It was ISIS.
The finest barbecue product makers.
Great to have their support on the podcast.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was great fun to meet a bunch of you guys, and also thanks to everyone who... came down to our comedy festival shows over the last month. Again, heaps of filth piling their way out of the venues every night. Mm. That was cool.
Yeah.
I saw you guys got a lot of folks down at Chimp Cop.
Yeah.
Sure, probably. I never paid attention to the numbers.
Wow.
Man. I don't pay attention to...
Again, if they're not paying him an appearance fee, he refuses to shake their hand after the show.
Absolutely.
Do not make eye contact. How dare you?
But yeah, I personally...
No, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. We did meet a bunch of filth after the show. It's really nice. It's nice that they kind of take a chance to see Chimp Cop as well, because it kind of... must look incredibly stupid.
Yeah,
from the outside looking in.
Yeah,
But that was very nice.
It looks cool.
Knox is doing some tricks with a cushion right now as well.
I'm doing kick flips.
we've been talking about we'll do something some form of other live thing before the year is out. Hopefully, that's kind of the plan.
Yep.
Live
sex show. All cool. Right.
I'm gonna finger myself.
While we sit on stage and it's like one of those button mashing mini games.
Yeah.
So
the harder
the quicker we push the button, the more explicitly you figure your own date.
Oh, God.
And I'll just make the same 3 sounds repeating.
Yeah.
Well, I won't do them now.
No, do them now.
Yeah, do them now.
Ow!
Okay, so what have we got, guys? This is it. So the comedy festival is now finished. We're back into the real world. Mm-hmm. We have more time. I personally am very much looking forward to having a bit more time to play some goddamn video games.
Oh yeah, hell yeah!
I'm going to try and track down Persona this week.
Mm-hmm.
Anything new to add on that?
It's great. I've played a lot of it, like 50, 60 hours or something.
Fuck.
Like I've really have been spending all of my free time playing that game. And it's great. It's still good. No flaws.
Great.
Like it's super, super deep and complex. And it really is Japanese Buffy as well. Like it's cool. All those kind of dynamics are there. And I'm starting to expand the party.
Oh, cool.
It's great. It's really good.
I'm looking forward to jumping into that.
Mm.
It's cool having a bit more time and having a PlayStation 4 that I purchased now. Yes. It's opened a whole new world.
Oh, hey, I was watching Aladdin yesterday.
I watched Aladdin 4 days ago.
Wow. Netflix?
Guys, it came guys, on Netflix, yeah. Guys, you're going to freak out. I've never seen Aladdin. No, I haven't seen Aladdin.
It's not that good. I didn't.
What?
The first half is a lot better than the second half of Aladdin. Because
I
all
agree.
The good songs are in the first half, and then there are no songs except for Jafar doing like a cover version of an earlier song.
Yes, yeah. What does he do? Is it Friend in Me?
He goes, Prince Ali, stupid is right. He, yeah. What a big dumb cunt.
Prince Ali's a great song.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great song. Friend in Me is a good song. Yeah. I don't like A Whole New World, personally.
I understand that a lot of people do, so, yeah. You know. Whatever.
I will say, even
Arabian
as a kid...
Nights right at the start. Mm.
Even as a kid, my least favourite part of every Disney movie was the songs. I never really cared for the songs, even as a little kid.
As a kid, definitely, I didn't like musicals at all, and I've definitely come around and really liked the songs.
I've maintained my position. Okay. I think the same now as what I think when I was 8.
Lion King, in my opinion, is the only Disney like animated thing that has particularly good songs.
Which one?
Lion King, yeah.
I mean, I like, in the movie, in Aladdin, I like Friend Like Me just because of visually what's happening during that song where the genie's doing all that crazy shit. I think that's really cool.
The genie has just lost a lot of his appeal.
Totally. It's a very like late 80s, early 90s kind of humor.
Totally, yeah. And like at the end he like lifts up the corner of the screen and he's like, ha, made you look. And you're like, well, yeah, of course you made me fucking look. You just stood in front of me. Yeah.
I swear we've talked about this.
I was meant to divert my eyes away for that brief moment. Yeah. You idiot. You
I swear we've talked about this on the show before about how weird it was that you had this kids movie where then one of the main characters, he's doing impressions of like Don Rickles and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
we have.
He's doing
all these real deep
cut old school showbiz references.
Yeah.
And that's right, we were talking about, where does he know that from?
Yeah, that's right. Like from an alternate dimension or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he exists in all times. He does a Jack Nicholson impression.
He
does a Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, giving him love advice.
He does,
which is strange.
What's the very big show? Ed Sullivan?
Yeah. He does.
Even then, I feel like that wasn't a timely reference.
Dude, Ed Sullivan, in the 70s wasn't a timely reference.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Who's, I got no respect. Who's
Danger, Rodney Dangerfield.
He bugs his eyes out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking weird.
I think not really liking the songs in Disney movies was why I was such a big fan of Emperor's New Groove when it came out.
Oh, right.
It didn't have songs in it, did it? It was like one.
It wasn't like a proper musical.
It was meant to be. Have I talked about this on the show about how I watched that doco that they made about?
I think so.
About the Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
We've just talked about it.
I probably cared little enough that I tuned out.
It's actually it was originally being made by the same team that made The Lion King.
Right.
And Sting was going to do all the music for it.
Yeah, that's
Sting
right.
comes on board and he says he'll only do it if his wife can document the whole thing to make a documentary of him making the music.
Told me about this.
And then it gradually, the suits come in and start fucking around with it. Sting's entire contribution gets cut out and they're like, we're changing the plot and everything.
Yeah. It's funny how when I said, you've told us about this on the show before, you didn't take that as a cue to start.
I didn't hear you say on the show. You had multiple opportunities to say, yes, I've heard this on the show before.
Well, here we go. I'm saying it now. Tommy, shut your fucking mouth.
Okay, the end.
No, I feel like we've definitely looped back on topics before that have been like a year old.
Working with Sting would be weird. Do you know the guy from The Police made all the Spyro music?
Yeah.
That's kind of maybe what? We talked about that.
Wow.
One of the other ones, I don't know. There's only three of them, right? But one of the other two.
The
one
drummer?
One of the non-Stings. I think the other one.
The Edge. Yeah, The Edge.
Yeah, The Edge. He made all the music for Spyro the Dragon.
Right.
All those games. And the music in those games are great.
Yeah.
I'd be happier with a remaster of them than Crash Bandicoot.
I
feel like, but they probably assume that because now Spyro's now all that Skylanders,
exactly.
Imaginator shit. So I think they figure, no, we're still making Spyro games.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of remasters, you and I, Ben, have been playing a game this week called Wonder Boy:
The Dragon's Trap. Yeah.
Sneaky. This game was not like I knew it was coming out, but it kind of wasn't really on my radar as something that I was gonna get. I wasn't super interested in it, and then just on a whim, I picked it up, and I love it.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Why do you love it, Tommy? Tell us more.
So it's, for people who don't know, it is a it's a remaster of an old Master System game.
Yep.
And it's basically, mechanics-wise, they've kept it completely the same.
Yeah.
Except it's been given like a complete redo in the graphics. Like, it's all hand-drawn, animated, new music, like, you know, very great production in the music.
Yeah.
Like, kind of full score.
Totally.
And you, as you're playing it, you can at any time hit a button and switch between retro music and retro graphics. Like, you can put them on and off.
Yep.
Which I guess is why they've had to keep the mechanics completely the same.
Yeah.
So you basically, you're a little prince dude, and you get turned into a, what's the first thing? You get turned into a fish?
A dragon. Yeah.
And then you basically just travel around killing a boss. And every time you kill a boss, they turn you into a new thing.
Yeah.
And then over time, you unlock the ability to kind of change between them. And it's classic, like, you can only get to certain bits if you're one. Like, one of them can run up walls.
Yeah.
One of them can swim. And it's great. It's very simplistic. It's very, I think it's gameplay-wise, it's got a lot of flaws that are very much of its time.
Yeah.
Like, it does show its age in a lot of regards.
Yep.
But I, something about it, I really like the fact that they've kept all that stuff intact.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. I think it's, like, instead of trying to kind of overcompensate and amend some of those flaws, I really, like, so for example, if you're deep into an, it's very unforgiving in that way that games of that time were.
Yeah.
If you're deep into an area and you die, too bad. You're just right back to the start.
Yeah.
There's no checkpoints. There's no quick save.
Yep.
And again, I don't know. I should find that really frustrating, but I don't mind. Like, it's just very simplistic gameplay, but
yeah.
I'm loving it.
So I really like the art style, and I like the music. Mm. Particularly the music is great. It's real catchy. And I do like the retro gameplay in terms of the jumping, the attacking, like, it's all very, very tight, very predictable. It's not very, like, floaty or anything. It's very precise.
Yep.
So if you fuck up, it's your fault.
Yep. Yeah.
And, like, if you're impatient, you're gonna die.
Yes.
But that's, like, that kind of stuff happened all the time with, like, the Castlevania games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you don't actually do the timing properly, if you don't jump when you're supposed to jump, then you will die. Like, you can't just rush through it like a current day game.
Definitely, yeah.
So that is all cool. What is really frustrating me is the dying and going back to the hub world. Like, I just don't want to spend that time again. Like, it is tough to get to the end of a level and get to a boss. So if I'm like 9/10 of the way and I die, like, I'm just going to fucking turn the game off because, like, I just wasted 40 minutes or whatever.
I know. I'm just finding it, that's not bothering me so much because, especially in this last week of Comedy Festival, I've been playing it on the Switch and kind of just playing it for like half an hour before my show. So I just, I don't care. Like, I just want something simplistic where I just wander around and hack and slash at stuff.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's such an interesting, because also I never played the original, so I'm not coming at it from a place of like a fond, you know, memory of that game initially.
Yeah, yeah.
Because also
neither,
this is like the third or fourth one in the series.
Third, I think,
of Wonder Boy games.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know it does. Like, when I get to the boss and then I die and then I know that I'm going to have to fight my way all the way back through that thing, there is a part of me that's like, oh, for fuck's sake. But I don't know, maybe it's just, I think, the fact that it's also charming and looks so good that I don't really mind.
I don't know if I'm particularly great at it either, may be impacting that
I was watching you play some before. Yeah.
Well, I was just playing it to show you it. Like, I wasn't trying to get to the end.
Speaking of the look, I don't really like the look, personally.
Really? Right.
It doesn't, none of it gels together. And, like, I think that's the fault of it being such an old game that a lot of them did just use arbitrary, okay, we need some flying, make it a cloud.
Yeah.
It all just looks a bit,
it looks a bit Mario knockoff.
A little Newgrounds-ish, a little flash animation.
Yeah.
And, like, some of it, like, the way the snakes were moving in the little bit I saw was cool. It did look very hand animated type thing, but it didn't look appealing.
I really,
right.
No, I love it. I think it's such a great, like, taking the foundation that's there, and you can tell that the people, you know, you can tell that there's a lot of love for it. Like, you can tell that people really love the source material.
Mm.
And I think it's interesting because, you know, you see a lot of remasters now. So, for example, a few years ago, the DuckTales remaster that came out on pretty much everything, which I was very excited for at the time, And then they kind of added in all this like cuts. They felt like they had to add this like story in, and like in the middle of a level, there would be like a minute long bit of dialogue and cutscene that just absolutely disrupted the flow.
Yep.
And I think that tactic of trying to modernize it just actually worked to its detriment. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, you know, I kind of like the just presenting it warts and all. Like,
yeah.
And so the interesting thing is this same team is now making basically a sequel to this, which they're building from the ground up and which will be more modern and, and kind of have. So I don't know. I kind of think that's an interesting template to take something, not alter it at all, but then all the changes that you would make, save them for the ground up rather than having to still work with some of the limitations that are in there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It almost sounds like when they made like Mega Man 9.
Yeah.
Mm.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of DuckTales, they just did a there's some sort of package.
Yeah.
On the PS4.
Disney
Saturday morning.
Yeah, the Disney afternoon collection or something, which is what DuckTales 1 and 2. Darkwing Duck. Chippendale Rescue Rangers 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Which I loved a lot of those games. And again, they're just presented as is.
They're all just emulated NES games.
Yeah, but what they've added is a rewind button. So, like, you can, if you fall down a cliff, you can just, like, go back to where you were.
Like, exactly like an emulator as well. Then.
Well, yeah.
It's, which, fair enough, because technically that stuff's illegal a bit.
Yeah.
So, unless you own the originals. And, I remember loving the DuckTales games.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
I loved Rescue Rangers. I loved the Tailspin game as well. The Tailspin games.
I never played Tailspin.
Tailspin game's really cool.
Tailspin is the show.
I loved Tailspin.
Nah, man, you're wrong.
Best theme song as well. Best
Darkwing Duck had the best theme song.
Nah, I was just
when
like,
when there's trouble, you call DW.
Darkwing. Yeah.
I was.
No, but Tailspin was like boop 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 boop. Like, how can you go wrong?
Fuck that, man.
Oh. I thought it was cool that he had his
boops. I miss real music.
Oh god.
I thought it was cool that his little friend would go surfing like behind the plane.
Yeah.
On a little. On
that
a little,
was cool. Actually.
That was sick. In the sky.
It always just fucking confused me how
Zip,
it was Baloo.
Whatever his name was.
Kit.
I never understood whether it was meant to be the same. Like whether this is Baloo. And he doesn't live in the jungle anymore.
Yeah, that's what's so cool about it. Shere Khan was an evil businessman.
Yeah.
King Louis owned a bar. It's fucking great.
I don't get it, man.
You don't identify with the blue collar worker?
I'm just saying bears can't fly planes. I'm not saying anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, how come this fucking duck can talk, man?
Oh, dear.
Why is he so rich? What do he make his money in? What fucking job can a duck do?
Bread maker.
Huh? Doctor?
Yeah, Dr. Duck.
Gonna be a bloody quack.
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen the trailer for they're rebooting DuckTales?
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, yeah, I think
And the art style looks kind of cool, but the kids are the focus of it, which I guess is fair enough.
That was the same.
Yeah, but also
it was the kids and Scrooge.
They've got like proper voices. They've got like proper
hey, what's up? I'm Huey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the trailer's like, I guess you could say my family's a little bit weird. Which, I don't know, I wish they had kind of met in the middle of having them have those little
What did they used to have? Yeah. Didn't they used to just be like...
Yeah, they kind of sound like they're a bit more... they're a bit more like coherent than Donald, but still that kind of raspy...
History, I think that's a perfect impression.
Oh, okay. Well, they're trying to... Like, in the original, they're kind of interchangeable, but in this one, they're kind of giving them all, like, distinct...
Yeah, one's got punk haircut.
Yeah, one's a party dude.
Anyway, Wonder Boy, I've seen a few people on the tweeting at the developers saying, like, you know, asking them to do Alex Kidd next, which I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Alex Kidd is one that we were talking about this the other day. That's one that I played heaps.
Yeah,
anytime I was somewhere that had a Master System, I think Alex Kidd was built into it, wasn't it? Like...
Oh, maybe.
I think I remember it being you just would turn on the machine without a cartridge in it and Alex Kidd would load up.
Right. Yeah. The weirdest thing about this Wonder Boy game is that turning it back to the retro graphics and the retro music, I don't understand the appeal. Like, I don't know why they picked this game to remake. It's very basic. There's not a lot of character to it. Like, I find all the character and the charm is in the remade stuff, the remade graphics and the remade music.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely... I kind of think it's definitely still there. And, it's kind of interesting playing it for... It came out in 1989 when I was 3.
Yeah.
So you can sort of see, like, there's a lot of stuff in it that is now kind of par for the course with games.
Right.
Like, the character switching stuff... Yeah. This would have been one of the first games to do that, I'd say.
Yeah, right.
Like
I
a platformer.
Guess Mario 2 would have come out, but like not that.
But
was
in terms
different.
Of like you have to unlock this character to be able to get over this, you know, well, to get over this bit.
Well, was Metroid out?
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
it's because it's kind of Metroid.
Yeah.
It's kind of
where you
yeah.
just have a gun instead of a character.
Yeah,
Metroid,
yeah.
Basically, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and Mega Man. Mega Man's the same
oh,
basic
yeah,
thing.
Oh, he's like abilities yep. and stuff. Yep. Yeah. yeah. But I don't know, like the kind of yeah, it's interesting and it's very like. It's also very, like, you know, non-handholdy. Like, you just, you're yeah. in an area and there's no guy going, hey, you got to go over here or whatever.
Yeah.
But even, like, when you go to the weapon store and in the retro version, it's just a picture of a little smoking pig.
Yeah.
Like, which now they've turned into his, like, they've drawn a little shop for him and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. The template is still there. But also, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, it is an extremely old game at this point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I kind of, I'd love to see more stuff like this where they just don't, I don't know, if you're going to release a retro thing of a game, put in an autosave feature yeah. and that's it. Like
yeah.
kind of leave it untouched. Like it is more fun, I think, to kind of enter into that mentality of like yeah, you die and you have to go back and waste all this time, but fuck, that's what every game yeah. was back in that time.
From that
like,
point
yeah.
of view, this seems like a good remake.
Yeah.
And like all the graphics, whether or not I like them as like a whole aesthetic or whatever,
yeah.
they're well done for what
yeah,
they
totally.
Are.
Yeah.
So like that. Yeah, this
like,
is
I really
the best
think
version of that you could do.
I think
it's
so,
interesting,
yeah.
like when you switch back and forth between retro and current, you sort of think like it's completely different in retro. It's not like I kind of
yeah.
thought maybe they'd keep the same color palettes and just make this dodgy ass looking tree in the background. They'd kind of have fleshed it out.
Yeah,
they've in many cases they've gone for a kind of a completely different aesthetic and
totally.
Color scheme.
Yeah,
which I think is yeah, I think is a great design choice. But yeah, yeah, I mean, I think the first game I properly owned myself was Tom and Jerry on the Nintendo.
Yeah.
And like the first two levels of that I would have played a million times
yeah.
just because
yeah.
every time you put it in you – and it's just weird how that was just what video gaming was. You
yeah.
play the same level again and again and again and again and again and try and get further and further and
yeah.
you just can't. So system's off and then, you know – better luck next time.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's true. Like I would have played, yeah, the first world of Mario 3
yeah.
a million times. But now, like I can just like zip through it. Like
yeah.
it's I'd not even
yeah.
think about it and get
yeah.
to the next one.
We used to bloody climb trees and ride bikes.
How do you get your console up the tree?
Yeah.
I'd threw it and then I climbed the tree quickly enough that I would catch it at the apex of the throw.
Oh, ooh. Great. Very
it looked
nice.
Very impressive.
Well, yeah, it's interesting now. Like, yeah, back then you'd be happy to do that. Whereas now, like, if I'm playing like GTA or something and I die in the middle of a mission, I'm like, I can't be fucked going and starting that again.
Yeah.
Like, just the lot. Yeah. But it's funny how this nostalgia is really resonating with me, even though I didn't play the original game, but just of that era.
But that's always exciting to like when you go back and I hadn't watched RoboCop until last year.
Yeah, right.
But you
right.
go back and I wasn't even alive in the 80s really.
Yeah. Mm.
But then you go back and you watch something new from that time and that's kind of more exciting
yes.
than
yeah.
revisiting something you already experienced
that's a good
from
point.
That time.
Well, this is what I kind of wanted to get into because it's funny
RoboCop.
How... Yeah, let's talk
yeah.
about RoboCop.
Fuck
have
yeah.
I talked about that on the show before? it's. I think it's, you know, just in the wake of Ukulele and me really being excited for it and wanting that nostalgia hit and it not doing it
yeah.
in the way that I wanted it to. Whereas this is, you know, and the complaint I had about that was that it hasn't evolved and it hasn't updated itself enough. Whereas somehow I love this thing that is further in that
yeah.
direction.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a, I don't think it's even something tangible where you can go, this is what they've done to make it work. It's just if it clicks for you and it,
I think
you
can.
Know.
I think it's all about controls and it's about like
yeah.
at the time Wonder Boy would have worked. And
yeah.
it, like we said last week, if Ukulele had been released in 1997 or 98 or something, it still wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, sure.
It still would have been empty and sloppy. And rushed and kind of unimaginative.
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing because when Wonderboy was released, the controls were perfect or like perfect. Like they were totally like
yeah.
tight and worked
yeah.
within the whole system because they recreated that identically. They couldn't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah. And
but that's what I
was
yeah.
somewhere in between.
That's a good point.
Even just low. Like there's that game is, I've gone back and played a tiny bit more of it. It's just really, really unpleasant to move around in.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
all you're doing for the entire game is
yeah.
moving around. That's
yeah.
that's it.
I don't think I will ever play it again.
I know that I'm
I
a fuckwit and I probably will finish
I
it at some
two
point.
Two sessions
yeah.
with it for the sake of this and I just, Yeah, I just can't. I just, even that was,
it's
like
boring,
such a chore.
As well. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it. That's the worst thing about it is that it's not like, it's just not interesting in
yeah.
any way.
But again, that's what's weird. Like, Wonder Boy, I'm happy to just go through a level that I've died on three times already.
Yeah.
I'm more happy to do that than I am to play a game that came out last week where there's a big, rich 3D world
yeah.
to explore in. I will say, though, I've been finding it great for handheld mode on the Switch. It looks great on that
yeah,
crisp
right.
screen. It, like, so if you've got a Switch, I would say it's like $20. I would say absolutely worth picking up.
Yep.
If you're playing it on, it's out on everything, isn't it? Xbox and PS4.
I don't know.
It's definitely out on PS4.
Okay.
If it's just on a home console, I don't know that I would have had the same degree
yeah.
of affection for it.
Yeah,
I've
right.
I've definitely just been liking playing it on the I think it really works. It really suits the handheld format.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else, I don't know if I would recommend it as much.
Yeah, right. I think that I just really dislike playing the Switch in the handheld mode. Mm-hmm. I was playing a bit of Zelda the other day,
mm-hmm.
And it was hampering my progress.
Oh, really?
That's interesting. Like, yeah. I was doing some of the trials in the Korok Forest, and I was fucking them up because I couldn't see properly.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
So I think just generally I don't like the handheld mode.
Right.
That's the opposite of what I've heard from everyone else as well.
Right.
Kind of like... I've been thinking about jumping in on a Switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I there's
check
just
out fucking Daddy Warbucks over here.
Yeah.
I've been thinking of throwing my money down. I don't know who Danny Warbucks is. I'm assuming that he's rich because he has the word bucks.
Daddy Warbucks. He's a character. I forget which one. He's a character from an old comic strip.
Yeah.
And he's right. like a rich. He's rich.
It's Scrooge.
Yeah.
Scrooge McDuck.
Mr. Monopoly.
Speaking normal terms. So the.
Jesus. There's fucking stones on this cunt.
Danny Warbucks, though.
There's just nothing to get, though, for it now. Like, Wonder Boy isn't enough.
Yeah.
Mario Kart coming out this week. I like that game, but I've played it on the Wii U.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Now, so like,
I'm really glad that Mario Kart's coming out because I have not had a reason to play that Switch apart from like Wonder Boy. I got because Tommy liked it and I wanted to be able to talk about it on the show.
Ben.
You're most welcome, Danny, little Danny Warbucks. But I also don't know if I'm going to pick up Wonder Boy again after having spoken about it.
Yeah.
So thank fuck that Mario Kart's coming out.
Yeah, that's going to be great. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else? Nox, you played a little bit of Horizon.
I went in on Horizon Zero Dawn, which
that's
I
a
still
big
think...
one that I... Sorry to cut you off,
yeah,
but
no,
I'm I think I'll have more to say on that soon because I was playing that for the week before Zelda came out.
Yeah.
Put a lot of time into Zelda, haven't really gone back in on Horizon.
Well, I'm curious to hear Nox's perspective having played Zelda before it.
Yeah. So I was just going to say I still think that's the blandest fucking name.
Yeah,
Horizon Zero Dawn.
It's still a bit of a turnoff when I see it on the PlayStation.
Auto-generated, like bullshit.
Ugh. And I don't know why call it both. Like, even if it was just called Zero Dawn,
or
would be more interesting than having...
Yeah.
Horizon would
Horizon
be more
is
interesting on its own than Zero Dawn added in there. But anyway, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely feels very old-fashioned open world after Zelda. Like, I hate having the little objective marker on the screen at all times.
Mm.
And you can go in and you can turn off lots of stuff on the display.
Yeah.
Not that though.
Yeah.
That's the like one and that always bothers me in these games is having that just like constant, you should be here.
Mm-hmm.
You should, that's where you should be. And
I guess a constant reminder, this is a video game.
It just makes it so, so straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And so that lack of wonder and exploration that Zelda had.
Yeah.
And like the lack of, relative to Zelda, because they're different games and it's unfair to compare things all of the time, but they are both in very much the same sort of space.
Yeah.
And it's been the lack of movement freedom that's bothered me the most.
Okay, yeah.
Coming back from it, like genuinely I've had times where I've thought to glide down somewhere.
Yeah, okay,
and not been able to because, you know, it's a different game. And that's maybe my fault. Like if I'm sitting there watching like Goodfellas and go, where's Luke Skywalker?
Yeah.
He should be in this movie as well. But it's obviously very different.
Yeah, I was playing a lot of GTA before I played Zelda and I was really annoyed that none of the villagers were telling me about how much time they've spent on Facebook. I was like, where are the gags?
Yeah.
Where's the biting social commentary?
I got 69 Koroks and nothing happened. It's all right though. I think the story and the dialogue have been a little flat so far.
Okay.
I'm sort of at the point where you're leaving out into the big world.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay,
yeah.
It's I was thinking about it the other day, like, oh yeah, I should, yeah, I'll go back in. And I'm genuinely like, I was kind of thinking, fuck, I reckon I might have to start it from the start because I can't remember any of the... We've talked about this a bit when you leave a game and then you come back.
Yeah.
I remember all the controls and the crafting and stuff being very intricate and I'd gotten my head around that. I couldn't off the top of my head for the life of me tell you what any of the buttons are.
Yeah. Right.
And I was thinking this is, you know, Nintendo always do this very well where, you know, you could leave Breath of the Wild for ages and come back.
You'd disagree with that.
You don't think?
Yeah. I couldn't get a grip on the controls during playing it for 60 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean in terms of going into a menu and crafting and then holding down a button to have this and then equipping an arrow. I don't know. I feel like it's all there on the screen.
So I played Persona mostly and then I went back to Zelda just for a bit of a break and I was pressing the wrong buttons.
Oh, really?
Because it has that thing, especially I think maybe it's a Zelda thing that I am not used to at all of like the buttons are just not attached to the right things for me.
Okay.
In my mind. It's like, well, attack should be this button, but it's that button. Jump should be this one and sprint should be that. And they're all flipped around.
Yeah.
So because I did end up playing Zelda for such a long time and just Zelda, I got into it. But yeah, flipping back and forth. It's like flipping between, say, Horizon and GTA or Horizon and Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Totally.
They're the same buttons.
And yeah, okay,
it's,
sure.
It's
yeah.
so much closer to those sort of things, to like those Ubisoft kind of Watch Dogs-y type open world games, which is fine. But and I like the conceit of the world.
Mm.
I think the climbing the tall neck for the first time.
Yeah.
Really cool. And it looks great. And
from what I understand, because I had that thing playing it where you're playing it for a few hours and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then you get into the open world and you're like, oh, I hadn't really started the game yet. So you haven't really got to that point yet.
I've kind of just gotten to that point.
Right. And then people say that from that point on, all of that cool world stuff gets more and more fleshed out.
Yeah.
That kind of gets delved into a bit more.
Totally. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing and actually I'm kind of invested in like, as much as I say the plot's been flat, just the presentation of it, but the overall sort of idea of what's going on, I quite like.
Yeah, totally.
And I want to see where it goes. But boy, the writing is just boring.
Yeah.
It, like, there's so little humor to it, so little, like, character to it. It's just, it's all quite straightforward. And it's been the sort of thing where very quickly, and I don't normally do this, but very quickly I'm skipping through the voice acting stuff.
Oh, wow.
Just reading it as quick as I can, going, like, yeah, I get it. It's.
I tend to do that with every game from the start. So maybe I didn't notice that as much.
Right. I quite like. If I can, I'll turn subtitles off and just treat it like a film.
Yeah, okay.
I do find that it's – I always find that stuff, like the voice acting and whatever, the writing, feels worse when you're reading it as well.
Yep, definitely.
Like if you're just taking it at face value, and I find it a lot easier to
– to deconstruct it if it's right there in front
of you. Yeah, totally.
That's
because
true.
It looks definitely ridiculous.
You are literally watching a fake person read a script that you're reading.
And they look very fake saying stuff. That's the one thing about the graphics is that the facial animations and especially the lip syncing and stuff is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of times when it'll be very top row of the teeth are the focus.
Right.
Yeah. And their lips just pulled back and they're like, hello, how are you?
Yeah. They're like a chimpanzee with peanut butter on their teeth.
Like an angry, like a Mr. Ed crossed with... chimpanzee Mr. Ed.
I guess I don't focus so much on that stuff. I find the, like, I guess the unique individual character design is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And all of that world stuff and the dinosaurs and all that shit.
The problem is that the game focuses on that stuff quite a lot.
Right.
There's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of cutscenes, more than I expected, like quite lengthy cutscenes of like exposition.
Right.
And so it's hard not to focus on it because the game is really... And I'm the sort of person where if I get 10 dialogue options, I've got to go through them all.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. Well, you saying you skip cutscenes and stuff, that to me is like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the behavior. Because
I don't have the attention for it.
I sort of go, I'm in this, I want to absorb the whole thing of it. Like,
especially if the game is presenting itself as though that stuff is important.
Yeah.
I give it like the, okay, well, you're telling me this is what you're about.
Yeah.
So let me see.
See, I think. For us playing it, me and Ben, you know, we played it and then all that stuff I was like kind of fine with, all the dialogue and the whatever and the, you know, I was like, oh, this, whatever. I'm into this. I'm into this world, so
it's,
I don't care.
It's
I
as good as most
stuff.
Other games like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But then I found that made Zelda stand out more when you go in and there's no, you know, there's barely any script. There's no cutscenes. There's no lengthy kind of,
and when nobody's,
you're just in it and then you just go for it.
When there's no actual human being voice talking, it's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And it's, but the second that an actual human being talks in that game, at least with the English version, fuck, it sucks.
Real bad,
but, and the voice acting is of a higher quality across the board in Horizon for sure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's just that the writing is a little just flat, just bland, you know?
Yeah.
And it's got that thing of just like these weird logical inconsistencies in the thing of like, okay, so humanity's fallen. This is hundreds of years in the future. Like, so why are there still visibly white and black and Asian people? Why haven't they congealed a little more? You know, I don't know if congealed is the right word, but like,
I've actually read something about that where it's like, oh, it's because people got separated into specific tribes based on how the world ended, like how the destruction happened.
But they're all in the same tribe together.
And I don't know.
So like that just, it's like, and it's partly because the rest of the world is so convincing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the stuff where it's like when you see a torn up city and it's all covered in, you know, the ferns and stuff that every apocalypse city gets covered in.
Yeah.
Yep.
It, that stuff works so well that when it has those little inconsistencies, you're like, I don't get why that.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me because I find the whole thing silly from the get go. Because I go, oh, it's thousands of years in machines.
But that opens.
But then we're all dressed like fucking the Flintstones.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Like, well, why aren't there clothes anymore?
Yeah.
I guess that does make sense. But they also have these weird sort of like religious aversions to it, which kind of explain that. And they're living off the land again, which kind of makes sense. Like that intro bit where you're, this is right at the start.
But
so
also,
I
go, why are you talking like that?
Well, yes, it's weird.
Why have
that
you
English
regressed into talking like you're cavemen? So,
they haven't done that though.
That
they,
stuff doesn't
still
bother me because it's, I just from the get go go, this is so stupid.
But they like, set it up quite well. Like when you're the child and you're walking through the at first sort of old world, you know, it's obviously like some sort of nuclear bunker or something that they've set up in and killed themselves in.
Yeah.
And you're listening to these recordings of their last words. It's really effective.
I thought that was really well done,
Quickly. In a very non, it's not on the nose at all. Like that sort of concept could be very over the top.
Yeah, they leave it kind of quite vague in a way.
Yeah. And it totally works. And it's a really good setup for the sort of split between current world upstairs, which is, you know, the land's taken back over, and what things used to be, and it some of it works so well that the bits where it's flat are annoying,
right? Okay,
not annoying, just boring.
Yeah,
you know, like
I'm
not actively hating any of it.
Yeah,
it's just kind of uninteresting.
It's a bit of a letdown in comparison.
And there's some stuff where like some of the characters are just like it's poorly written. Like there's a woman who's looking for a brother early on, and just her sort of attitude and motivations and stuff don't really make sense.
Right.
It's like it's this story that's been written backwards from the idea of this tutorial they wanted you to do, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And compared to something like The Witcher is what keeps coming up in my head because it's all these sort of people in a medieval-ish kind of world sending you on little tasks. And The Witcher has, they've written the story and then written a quest around that.
Yeah.
And it always works so well because it's these interesting, really unique little stories. And these ones aren't. They're very boilerplate.
Yeah,
like, I've lost my daughter. Oh, can you go find her? And then you find the daughter. Oh, no, I've lost my spear. Can you go find my spear?
Yeah.
And it's just as basic as that sort of stuff gets.
Yeah.
But it's all engaging enough that I'm still going to move forward.
I also think that the combat with the dinosaurs is pretty unique. Like the fact that it's like, oh, they're herds of these kinds, so they move in this way.
Totally, and they're very predictable, and like the combat is generally quite fun.
Yeah.
And like I've set it to hard because I wanted it to, like, you can see that the mechanics of it work well enough that I'm not dying as anyone's fault but mine.
Yeah.
It's kind of irritating how quickly you can get to a point where you can very much feel like you're cheating almost by like using the little whistle to like bring people over to you that only attracts one person at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
A lot like me.
Oh, that's ambitious.
I've never had a Beatles thing happen where there's crowds of women running after me.
Unlike me, I'm polyamorous. I've never said that on the podcast before, but I am. I've got 8 girlfriends at the moment. Wow. And anyone who isn't polyamorous is a fucking idiot.
Oh, well, I like to fuck Beatles. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's fun to actually play. Mm. The combat stuff is good.
The combat against the humans is the worst part of the combat.
It's not as good as against the robots.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It just suffers in comparison, I think.
Totally.
Yeah, it's kind of like just, why is this in here? This isn't what this game is. Why is this in here?
Yeah. I think, there's having just sort of the bow and the melee combat stuff isn't as useful.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the bow is just like...
Well, the little trip caster thing is very cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
The bow functions a little less like a video game bow than other video game bows, where the arc of the arrow isn't as severe as it usually is.
Yeah.
So that takes a little bit of adjusting to. It's more like just a rifle.
Yeah.
Almost.
I definitely, and I know you disagree with this, Ben, but once I started playing Zelda, I much prefer the kind of holding down one button to aim and pull back with the bow and arrow than Horizon's thing of you hold down one button to go into it, and then you hold down another button to pull back.
I was getting
good at that and liking it, and then as soon as I started playing Zelda where it's just one thing, I was like, oh, I prefer this a million times over.
You feel like you definitely have more options in what you can do in Zelda because you can quickly whip out a shot on the bow.
But
the melee combat stuff is more integral to Zelda, so it kind of makes sense that it's
totally
not as big of a focus.
It's
all right though. It definitely isn't like it's not turned me off with anything. It's just like a little flatter than it would like, but not to a degree that's like particularly worse than any other
and
open
like
world game.
Certainly not as much bland stuff as the title indicated. Like, there's so much more creativity than that. And it seemed like it was going to have,
and they're really going for it. And it has the impression of something that's going to definitely open up more.
Yes. Yeah. You know, yeah. It will. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm liking it.
And I reckon they'll do. It's been successful enough that there'll be another one down the line.
Probably. Yeah. I think they've said they're not done with Killzone as well. Maybe they'll do another one of them. Right. I kind of like to see them do something new like this again, you know.
Yeah.
Like just a bunch of new ideas again and again.
Yeah.
I think is good. And that's my fresh hot take.
Well, I kind of feel like with this, it's not like they made like an Assassin's Creed 1 where they hadn't quite figured it out yet. It feels like Horizon, it's like, oh yeah, you kind of nailed it.
It's kind of all there.
They're very much standing on the shoulders of tall necks, but to do that, like, it is not a particularly inventive game in terms of its basic mechanics.
Yeah.
But it does them all very well.
Totally. I just can't see, like, if it was a sequel, like, you can't make the world bigger. It's massive. You can't. There's not much to change, really.
Yeah.
There's not
much
to fix. Maybe, just go do a new property.
Other than that, I've bought a bunch of VR games in I'm going to get into them this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do a bunch of VR stuff. Dirt Rally I bought, which is a game about being at the United Australian Patriots Front meetups.
Very good.
Ah, you get it?
Nice.
They're dirty people.
Rally.
Nice.
Yep.
And they're rallying. Nice.
I didn't get the chance to buy any stuff on it. I just fucked around with the demo stuff.
You've had it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've got this VR that that a listener of the show bought for us that we are now sharing. And look, I'll say this, it's not the ideal thing to be sharing and moving around from place to place. It took me a very long time to box it up to get to you because if that box is just a little bit bigger, boy howdy, it would be a lot more portable. But Knox, I told Ben this the other day. I had a nightmare that I got the VR back after you had used it and it was covered in crumbs and sauce and I was using it and it genuinely stressed me out.
Most of my crumbs and sauce ends up on my eyes.
But the thing was, so it's like there's like the glass of the, you know, that goes in front of your eyes and then there's the screen beyond that. You'd managed to get sauce in between those two things, which I couldn't work. I was like, how did this get in here?
Yeah, I'm rough with my mustard. I did not take my sauce.
So, hey, maybe it's a bit rude of me to bring that up, but I'm challenging you. Prove me wrong.
Oh, look, if when it comes back and there's nothing on it but honey, you're going to be very, very happy.
From when you get stuck in that little honey pot when you go on your little adventures.
I plan to play it under a beehive. So it's not. I'm not even eating the honey.
Virtual VR beehive. Yeah, I'm when I get it back on the next go around, I'm definitely gonna buy.
Yeah.
Probably Resident Evil.
I could even bring my PS4 somewhere and we could spend a day doing there's some stuff Resident Evil I fucking wish I hadn't played.
Right.
So that I could go through it in VR.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty good game, but I think it would be so... Seeing now that VR works,
right?
I really wish that I could erase that from my memory and a couple of other things and I'd go through it again. Like...
I played it with my big dumb jock of a girlfriend the other day, and she I played the one
after
that
she stopped just punching it for a while.
Yeah, I had it, and she beat me up and took it off me. We played the one that we all played, the multiplayer one where one of you's on the TV as the little thing running away from Godzilla. And it's such an easy sell for anyone who doesn't play games because there's it's all there. You just put it on and then you're looking around and you just move your head to...
It
might be the most easily accessible thing if you're not a gamer because it looks really cool. Yeah. It's an amazing effect. And
totally.
Yeah, there's no buttons to have to teach them.
Part of the reason I'm taking it now is because I'm going to spend a bit of time with my family.
Yep.
And I'm going to show it with them, bloody film them, make a YouTube sensation when my dad bloody trips over and hits his head in the TV and then I bloody start kicking him and saying, you idiot dad.
Falls into that honeypot that's slightly bigger than your honeypot. I'm busting to get my folks into it.
Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes is something I'm looking forward to playing. I got that as well.
Oh, fuck. And we got to play that.
Yeah.
We got to go in on some of the stuff that people have said is good for
Oh, well, someone, just to change gears a little bit, someone recommended we play the Jackbox Party Pack for the Switch because that is, again, it's like a... I think you can play on your phone as well.
Yeah.
So it's like this kind of weird, interesting dynamic thing. Yeah,
someone... I like Jackin' and I like Box, so... I'm in.
I like to party.
And someone, I like pack.
Someone, I did see that message and I went and looked it up on the store and I don't know, just the look of it, I kind of was like, I don't know about
this. No, those games seem fun.
Are they really? Okay.
They're they're more like little scatterbrain, like just fun little drinking games type things.
Yeah. Oh man, I love a drinking game.
Oh fuck, I love beer.
I love drinking beer.
Oh. I like jacking in a box.
Oh, God.
Is it
the grossest shit to say. And the thing that I'm kind of really looking forward to with VR is I find very funny the idea of sitting alone in my room with this fucking thing on my head. And, I think I'm going to get really scared because I'm the sort of person who'll look over my shoulder if I'm alone and watching a horror movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm going to be taking it off every couple minutes to make sure there's nobody looming.
It really is the perfect thing for living alone because I want to play through Resident Evil in it, but I know I'm going to have to do it at times where I'm assured that neither of my housemates is home or coming home in it because I want to go all out, headphones in, and that would freak me out, I think, more than the anything in the game.
Totally.
The idea of someone coming into the room and fucking with me while I'm, while I'm jacked into the mainframe.
Well, if you're in a tense scene and then someone physically touches you on the shoulder,
it'd be
which both of my housemates would definitely do.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna lock myself in a cupboard so that nobody can get to me. Also, I've got a bit of bloody news.
Oh, is it time for Mr. News' News Corner?
It's general news to you.
What?
And I've got some general news.
Hell yeah.
Okay, this is good.
Finally, a name for this segment.
Yeah.
I might sneeze first, though.
Bless you.
Gesundheit.
I sneezed twice before and neither of you animals said bless you.
I don't believe in it.
I never got taught bless you. Yeah, it's not a thing for me.
Yeah.
Cool. Not an excuse.
Deal with your own shit, mate.
It's like saying I never got taught to wipe my own ass, so I just don't have to do it now.
Absolutely.
So I just wipe your ass.
Walk around stinking.
Why do I have to say bless? What's to bless?
Yeah, I was brought up to be agnostic.
Yeah.
So blessing
is... You just acknowledge that someone sneezed. No,
I'll say good on you from now on.
Exactly.
Every time you sneeze, I'll say...
Great.
Yeah. Sick work, champ.
Great.
Well done.
Thanks.
It is impolite to force someone who is not religious to say bless you.
Oh, get your fucking hand off it.
We are living in a secular nation. This is not America.
I sneezed in an Uber the other day and the driver said, bless you. And I thought, man, this guy is stinging for a five.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In that sense, I kind of didn't like it because I was like,
yeah.
This literally is just you clamoring for a sweet rating.
I prefer a nice, pleasant ride and then... when I'm getting out, they go 5 stars, and I go 5 stars, and I get out.
Oh, really? I hate that.
Really?
I hate that. Yeah.
Really?
I don't like them to bring it up.
Yeah.
I don't like them acknowledging the sort of artifice.
Oh, my preference is that they don't say anything.
Ever.
Yeah.
They don't even ask you where you're going.
Yeah.
I just feel like the bringing it up then, because I just give everyone five unless there's been an issue, a big issue.
Yeah.
But like, to me, it's just then it makes me feel when I give that five, like I'm only giving it because it's like I would have done that anyway.
Right.
You know what? It makes me feel like I've just done it. It makes it seem like less of a genuine sentiment and more like you've just done it because your back's against
the
wall.
Totally. Imagine if every movie you watched on Netflix ended up with a director like showing up and being like, hey, thumbs up. Yeah.
Hey, if it was just that, if they popped up in the corner and just went thumbs up and disappeared, I'd give them a thumbs up.
That's pretty funny. I like
videos
that.
When they go like, hey, like, comment and subscribe. Everyone knows that that's an option.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that you can like a video or comment or subscribe.
There was a comedian who had a Netflix special that came out a little while ago and I saw on his Twitter him putting a thing like, oh, hey, you know, please watch it. It's on Netflix. And, you know, if you get into it and you don't like it or whatever, or if you weren't planning on watching it, can you at least, like, put it on and let it run out and leave the room? Because Netflix can tell when people cut out of things.
Yeah. Right.
So that not just how many people watch it, but that factors in, like, whether people are lasting the whole way through. So it's like, oh, look, it helped me out. If you start watching it and it's not for you, just leave it. I was like, wow, man, you have got no confidence in this special. Like,
you are
not feeling good about the quality of this work.
Yeah, that is a pretty bad look and a weird thing to ask. Like, if I'm stopping your special, I want to watch something else. Don't tell me what to do with my time. Yeah. Like,
even if you're not going to vote for me, can you just chuck like a little Vote Knox placard in your garden?
Just put the bumper sticker on the car. You don't even have to believe
it. Just give me some money. Just hang out. Come hang out. Come hang out with me.
Yeah.
Someone come around. All right. Captain News gets newsy.
Captain
maybe.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's been demoted. he switched branches of the military.
That sneeze in the middle of the headlines. That's what did it. They were like...
So, StarCraft is free now.
Yep.
You can get that for bloody nothing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's a South Korean presidential candidate who's made a StarCraft map as part of his campaign.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently he is leading the polls.
Yeah. It's not surprising. It's like their national sport.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. But even then you don't get like Turnbull's not going in the middle of an AFL game and going, hello, I made this AFL game today.
If he like pulled on a Guernsey and dominated for a match, then fuck yeah, he'd,
he'd
get voted back in by a lot of people.
I guess you get presidents do a lot of the throwing the first ball at the baseball game.
That's true. And if they fuck it up, like remember John Howard did that horrible bouncer in the cricket?
No.
Well, I'm slightly older than you, so I do.
Speaking of AFL, though, there's a AFL Evolution is coming out soon.
Yes. Yeah. I knew there was something I forgot.
Yeah. We got to go all in on that.
That's excited.
Yeah, we almost should do a whole episode just based on around AFL Evolution.
It's got to have been nearly a decade since there was an AFL game.
Yeah, AFL Live was a long time ago.
Well,
I might have even still been in uni.
Original PS2, Xbox sort of era, they had them. I feel like there was one in like 2008.
Yeah, right.
Something like that. Yeah. I feel like
that would line up, I think I played it on the Wii maybe even.
It's funny how, you know, they've tried to make this look as kind of realistic as possible because I guess that kind of is what people want.
Totally.
But because they're limited by budgetary constraints, they of course can't get...
Which makes sense because how many AFL fans are there?
Yeah.
Like...
You
10
mean
million?
Worldwide, But you know what? If they've got budgetary constraints, you know what would be a better solution would be do it like NBA Jam style.
Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't go all the way and make it as dense and realistic as you would like, then just go the other way and make it like a super, even just an app or whatever, like a super simplistic.
AFL's such a ridiculous sport anyway that I feel like it could quite easily translate into that like.
Oh, God,
Like a death sports type.
Yeah.
Or like a Mario Strikers soccer match.
Big head mode.
Yeah.
Like, and if you did that and just still had all the roster of players and stuff, that'd be enough to bring all the sort of
simple, like
only AFL fans
jump and
in.
Grab.
Yeah.
Button mechanics.
Yeah.
Get the Sharon to catch fire if you're doing particularly well.
Yeah, fine.
That would be fucking amazing.
And then, like, there's a lot of, like unique players and, like, kind of, like, characters in the sport.
A lot of strange haircuts is what you're saying.
No, but, like there's a lot of, like, in terms of, like, commentary, there's a lot of fun phrases. Like, they could turn that into, like, in-jokes and stuff.
Are they going to have commentators for this?
Yeah, they've got, like, I think it's, like, maybe Cometti and Matthew Richardson. It's just two.
Okay, yeah, right.
Or even if they did one where it's based like in the 90s or whatever, where it's like super old school players and
you've got a button dedicated to drinking a beer.
Yeah, having a dart.
Yeah,
that's a mini game. You're up in the stands and you're Bob Hawke sculling a fucking yard glass.
Pierce on the glass.
But yeah, when's that? That's out real soon, right?
May, June, something like that.
Yeah.
Mid season.
I'd love it to do well, but I remember I kind of like was reading the development diary of the first, that last one, the AFL Live one, and like they were putting a lot of work into it, but they also were very reliant on it doing well to be able to make a second one.
Yeah, right. Like the Australian video games industry, I don't think is in a particularly good position at the moment.
Yeah,
and then it's like I wonder if there's any way, because if anyone doesn't know what AFL is, it's Australian Rules Football, which is a different acronym.
Yeah, it's the Australian Football League.
Australian Football League, but Australian Rules is what it's called. And it's a genuinely really good sport.
It's a fantastic sport.
It's like this bizarre combination of, and I think a lot of people when they think of Australian sport think of cricket.
Yeah.
And cricket is very fucking boring.
Yeah.
And like and rugby is the other big one, and that's also British.
Yeah, yeah.
But AFL is genuinely an Australian sport, and it's fucking stupid and weird.
Yeah, it
in
is.
In a lot of ways. But like, and seems, it's very hard to get your head around parts of it because I didn't grow up with it or anything.
Yeah.
So I sort of learned it later on in life.
It's a game that is best learnt by watching it. You can't.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe.
Well, like even just stuff like holding the ball or whatever.
Yeah.
You get, if you read that, it doesn't make as much sense as when you just see someone on the ground in this huge huddle and everyone in the stadium's yelling, ball!
Yeah.
And it's so strange for someone just to be yelling like, if everyone yelled like, puck! At a hockey game, like it's just a weird.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get your head around it.
I guess it's like full contact soccer, but you can hold the ball.
Sort of, and generally
very high scoring.
High scoring,
which is fast, which sets it apart
as
from.
Well.
Yeah,
there's
yeah. More fast moving than NFL. More high scoring than soccer.
Yeah.
It really is good short attention span.
Yeah.
It has like the fluidity of basketball. Yeah. Just a very quick, fast moving. But then like
it probably is kind of closest to basketball than anything else.
In terms of the pace of it. But then you've got 22 people as well. And so it ends up being like,
just watch some on YouTube. Like it's just watch it. That's the best way to figure out what it's like.
Just compilations of like best marks and shit.
Yeah.
What a great wrap up we've done for our 8 American listeners. Everyone else going, we know. No, we fucking know.
I'm listening to this at a game.
Yeah. Or I'm listening to this. I obviously don't care about sport.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game will be really interesting to see.
My point was going to be, I wonder if it could, if a game like that could ever translate internationally. Because I know basketball isn't huge here. Hockey isn't huge here. But
hockey games and
basketball games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And NFL game, Madden and stuff still translates over to Australia.
Can you just make the mechanics good and you make it sort of self-contained? That's why I think the simplistic approach would be better.
Yeah.
Because this one, it kind of looks like you're really going to be interested in it. You're only really going to be interested in it if you're already a big AFL head.
Yep.
Like you'd be interested in it because it's realistic and because it's sort of, you know, got the right players and everything in it. Whereas I think if they just went pure arcade style, I really think that would be the way to go.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll see that one day. Has that ever been done? I really don't think it has been.
And especially if they made it like 90, so it's really over the top Australiana.
Yeah.
Definitely people.
Yeah.
People, if you made it almost like borderline piss take where you can unlock Paul Hogan and play as him.
Yeah.
If they just went absolutely overboard with it, I think that would translate.
You'd have to have like the modern, current day lineup of people as well. You'd have to have.
Yeah.
Sure.
But if you had some of that, by the way, so the South Korean president guy is apparently really well liked, and this is actually seen as like a cool move.
Yeah. Right.
Than like a, you know, dad's come and made a bloody StarCraft map.
Yeah, nice.
And it says, I miss you, son. Please come live with me.
Fuck.
Your mother Zerg rushed our marriage. What else we got here? There's not that much happened. They stopped making the NES Classic.
Yeah, we talked about that already, I think.
Did we talk about the rumors of the SNES one, the SNES classic being made.
Yeah, maybe.
That's been announced since we
did
the last episode.
Sort of rumored, right. But it's a Nintendo rumor thing, so it's definitely true.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes complete sense.
Every games website in the last week has put out their own, here's what should be on it. Yeah. Super Mario World, really? You really think that people would want to play that on there? That's interesting.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, that would be one that I would be, I kind of had this thing with the NES Classic where I kind of figured I would get it because it's cool, but then I'd beyond turning it on once, it would just gather dust. I think this NES Classic, I would be more likely to make an effort to hunt out.
Yeah, and you're going to be more disappointed when you can't buy it.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. What are they doing?
It's bizarre.
In Australia, that's going to be weird as well. Or like in the the American version of the SNES looked worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they're going to come looking for our ones, and you can keep your fucking hands off them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they did the same thing in Japan. They had the Famicom Mini.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Why was that? Why did it look so different in the States to here? Because it just had different colored. Purple buttons.
It was meant to look more like an electronic appliance rather
like
than
a toy.
A toy, right.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That one looks
same
great.
Reason they change all the box art on video games covers.
Right.
Like in Japan a lot of the time. With Kirby ones I've seen, it's especially noticeable where it's literally the same thing, but
He looks angry. Yeah, yeah, I noticed that too. They do the same thing with Mario. They always make Mario look angrier.
Yeah, right. They give him that like DreamWorks like fucking sarcastic face.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, that that reminds me. We did an episode of Mic Check.
Yep.
Yeah, with
Ben and I.
Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos, where we talked about the games of Shrek and Mike Myers. Yeah.
Mike Myers podcast of Little Wayne's World, Little Shrek.
Yeah.
I think I had a good time doing it.
Oh, so it was great fun.
Go have a listen to that if you want.
Yeah. Because
we're bloody done making this for you to listen to. So you can fuck off and find some more content.
Yeah.
That's a great show. I've been on it a few months ago.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a really funny show.
It was really fun. We had a great time.
Yeah. I couldn't make it. They wanted to do the idea was that we'd all do it, and I couldn't do it, and so I sat it out, which
but
I was very disappointed about.
Yeah,
not many good Mike Myers related video games.
No,
you say not any?
I don't want to be that bold. There was one Austin Powers Game Boy one that was fascinating.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
It was like they created a whole operating system. Go listen to Bloody Mike.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. I know the one you're talking about.
We didn't play or even watch footage of all of the games. So there may well be a good one out there, yeah.
Shrek's a fascinating one that they continually try and make stuff out of. They've had a kart racing one and a fighting one.
Yes, yeah.
Again, the rich beyond playing as Shrek.
Yeah.
What's interesting about any of the rest of that roster? Oh, cool! I can play as the Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
Do you need more than Shrek though?
Well, if someone else gets to choose him before on the character select screen before I can get there, I do.
But then you just get like a yellow Shrek.
Is that real? Is
I don't know. But ones that you'd imagine,
you
do that? Right?
You got Donkey,
Blue Shrek.
True. You got Donkey.
True.
And then you got nothing else. So that was good. Go listen to that, listeners.
Should we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, guys, for listening. We are on all the forms of social media that you can find at FilthyCasPod, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to send us a question or any feedback or anything, paypal.me/
FilthyPod.
FilthyPod.
Yep.
If you want to chip in.
Haven't had a donation in several months.
We've got the Bandcamp where we've got some bonus episodes up that you can download.
Yeah. filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Guys, thanks so much for listening and we'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Austin Powers VR, the VR would stand for Very Randy. That's an interesting thought.
Not bad.
Good.
Very good. Yeah, very good.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.